Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. Chuck Moore Speaks. My guest is Eric Rush. He's a New York-born columnist, author, and speaker who writes socio-political commentary for WorldNet Daily and other publications. He's also the founder and chief editor of Instigator News Network. In February 2007, Eric was the first to break the story of Barack Obama's ties to militant Chicago preacher Reverend Jeremiah Wright on a national level. His book, Negrophilia, From Slave Block to Pedestal, America's Racial Obsession, has been called the definitive book on race politics in America. Eric, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on.
Eric, you've got an article up in WorldNet Daily and Instigator News called Gender Fluidity, Shagging the Dog, where you address the issue of President Obama's executive order, essentially desegregating all public facilities for transgender. You seem to have an interesting theory about why President Obama is doing this at this time. Please talk about that.
Well, I think that basically what it comes down to is a general agenda of debasing standards, morality, social convention, what have you. This is just one component in that. One of them was legitimizing the gay agenda. You know, nobody wants gay people to be, you know, burned at the stake or anything, but there's no reason that they should, for example, be driving the agenda where it comes to K-12 education. They've insinuated themselves into that. The left has really been behind that, as they are with all sorts of Balkanization of our culture, and this is just one of them. You know, we'll identify transgender people, make them look oppressed, make them angry, and make everyone accommodate them.
You know, yesterday the New York Times did a front page article where they basically stated the obvious, which is that this issue has suddenly appeared like a thunderclap across the firmament. No one ever thought about this a year ago or even 6 months ago, that there would be such an issue as the rights of transgenders to go into women's bathrooms and showers and whatnot. I guess I'd like to ask you, what is the background of this? I mean, how did this come to be? You know, and I'm saying this in the context that most of us have nothing but sympathy and compassion for people who, men and women who think that they're the opposite sex. And that people need to be treated with compassion. I think that's always been a given. But what is it that all of a sudden resulted in a presidential directive as it did? And also, what was the business with North Carolina's laws?
Well, I think that in the case of North Carolina, they were responding to a trend, or some of the people in their government were responding to a trend that they, you know, they were they weren't happy with. As far as Obama's directive, that's sort of par for the course. You know, Constitution, what Constitution? What gets me is that he makes these edicts and nobody in Congress, nobody in the press says, hey, you know, you're not supposed to do that. In any case, it is essentially, as I said, to subvert the preeminent paradigm. And over the last few weeks, I've been writing, here and there about the biggest impediment to statism, socialism in America and in Europe and in Canada, once upon a time at least, was traditional values, Christianity. Okay, it wasn't capitalism, because you can compromise that, as we've seen, with the crony capitalism and all of that nonsense. But in order to really have the kind of state that you want in the West, where you're not going to overturn the government with a, you know, like a revolutionary war and kill lots of people, it's got to be incremental, and this is the way that they're doing it. Demonize Christians, Jews, people who hold traditional values, make them look like bigots, and each and every instance that you see of these, you know, people who are sort of on the fringe, if you will, being victimized, you know, put upon the cult of victimology, this is what they're doing.
You know, I think that actually Donald Trump had a very interesting take on this when he criticized both the North Carolina law and the federal law by saying that basically this is a private matter, that if someone is, going into the women's room and passing off as a woman, then that's personal, as long as they obviously behave themselves. And there are plenty of laws to deal with a situation if they didn't. But that in a sense, federalize it or even make it into a state issue on either side, one which says that transgender people have the right to go, or one which say they don't, is sort of a mistake for both sides, because it is kind of a private matter. And, of course, the issue of the shower rooms, that's a whole different story. But you said in your article that you think that President Obama might be doing this at this time, and that his Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, gave a speech basically comparing this to the civil rights movement and referring to desegregation of the facilities, which, of course, brings up the question of the Civil Rights Act of 1965, that he's doing this for political reasons. He's trying to deflect attention from something else, maybe some other scandal that's brewing. I mean, what do you mean by that?
Yes. Well, I mentioned in one of my articles the film Wag the Dog, which was back in the 90s. It had to do with their, some people putting together a war to defray the impact of a presidential scandal. And I think that in the case of the Obama administration, you know, they've got so many unconstitutional measures, crimes, high crimes and misdemeanors, that they really need to be doing this full time. And that's sort of what they're doing. You know, right now, instead of focusing upon the administration what they have done, which, by the way, will carry over into Hillary Clinton's campaign, what they want to do is say, okay, well, let's talk about transgender people right now. Let's talk about Black Lives Matter. Let's talk about, all of these things don't make a whole lot of difference to the average American, but they are advancing it as though it was, the earth is going to spin off into the sun if we don't do something about this.
Right. I actually don't think that President Obama is that concerned about the executive orders and all the rest, because he's gotten away with that for 7.5 years. And
right.
The Republican Congress doesn't seem to care. They don't, in fact, if anything, they seem at least passively complicit in it. So I think that there's something else going on, and I think what's going on here is that we're looking at the last months of the administration, and they're trying to create a legacy. And this is the kind of thing that's going to last in the future, because it addresses a really fundamental leftist principle. You know, this idea that, first of all, that people can shapeshift their sex. You know, that in a sense it gets to an even more fundamental question, which is that, reality is something that can be manufactured or created. And that it gets to a almost a religious idea on their part. And I think that's something that will endure and that they can get behind long after President Obama's left office.
Absolutely. And, of course, the stated intention, which is completely noble, is what people are going to think about, because most voters, for example, are not political ideologues. Most people who watch the news, they'll say, oh, yeah, look at that. He's, what a good guy. The consequences, the effects, none of that down the road is going to be considered. And I think you're totally right that he's trying to, put together his agenda. You know, we're not going to think about Benghazi. We're not going to think about Fast and Furious, Obamacare, any of that stuff. We're going to think about what he tried to do for the little guy.
Right. And also the fact of the matter is that laws are already in place to protect a transgendered person who goes into a woman's room. It's called assault and battery. I mean, there's all sorts of laws in place. So, the fact is it's not really an issue. It's one of these issues where people are presenting the concept that there needs to be an extra layer of laws put in place that legitimizes the transgendered act, which I think is something that, you know, it can be a sad thing because you have people who might have a serious psychological problem. What about young people like students in schools? You have, this is where this whole thing got started. You had a high school student, I think in Michigan or in Illinois, who claimed to be a girl. And in fact, this, the New York Times had a big part about this. And insists that he can, I guess, either was it going into the women's room or was it maybe joining a girl's sports team or something else? And that seems to be what got the ball rolling on this.
Right.
Do you think this is an attempt to for the federal government to interject itself into public schools?
Well, I think that targeting the youth as victims, the Clinton administration did this too. That mm-hmm. carries weight. You know, you want to protect the children, right? Well, we have
right.
all of these transgender children that, you know, came out of the woodwork someplace, and we've got to protect them. That's basically what that is about, because it's a very powerful sort of a psychological motivator. You know, you don't want these kids getting beaten up and going home and committing suicide. And, of course, we don't. But the point of fact is that you would think that there were legions of these kids, and they're not.
No, I mean, of course, it's quite rare. I mean, we're talking about a tiny, tiny, you know, fraction of percentage of people who are, you know, either they're transgendered or they might have a propensity for cross-dressing or whatnot. And it's nothing new. I mean, that goes back since time immemorial. So why is it now that all of a sudden this is it's becoming a public issue? And I think that it has to do, again, with this leftist agenda of blurring the differences and the distinctions between male and female in the same way that they want to blur differences between individuals. It has a collectivist tone to it.
Well, it's political expedience. You know, that is why it's being done in the way it's being done right now. You know, one would think reading the newspapers and so forth that, you know, we didn't have any transgender people or gay people or what have you before 1970. Obviously, that's not true.
Right.
What's driving this is the political expediency of getting us culturally balkanized, getting the power in the state, disenfranchising people with traditional values, and that's just one of the ways they're going about it.
You know, I think that the conservatives, again, are unfortunately taking the bait in the same way they did 4 years ago with the issue of contraception. They're allowing themselves to be drawn into this field when, in a sense, Trump is right again when he said that it should be ignored. I mean, he doesn't care who goes into the bathrooms at Trump Towers. He doesn't want to know. This is a personal matter. As long as people are obeying the law and as long as they're, you know, behaving with a reasonable amount of decorum, then it shouldn't be anybody's business. And you know, to my way of thinking, that it makes it so that the government doesn't get into it either way. That way you don't either have a North Carolina situation or a federal situation. It sort of remains as was, a private matter, not one which has to involve, you know, kind of endorsement by government. But I think that there is an agenda on the part of a group that represents transgenders to try to make this into a public issue because they want recognition of transgenders as another sex.
Well, because it's useful to them. I don't think that they genuinely care about these people, nor do I think that these people are being inordinately persecuted. It is, you know, they exploit everyone, and that is sort of the stock and trade of the political left, at least in the West, where you had a prosperous nations. Where you know, the communists used to say, oh, my gosh, well, we're never going to overcome these people. They're too fat and happy, and that was sort of true. So they had to screw everything up. They had to screw up the economy. They had to make us not get along with each other, make us, you know, paranoid and at odds with each other. Oh, my gosh, you're going to take my social subsidies. you're going to, you know, persecute my kids. I mean, there have been, as you said, gay people, cross-dressers, transgender people since time immemorial. And the fact is that, with few exceptions, people didn't care. That's what you're
right.
into? Okay, fine. As long as you're not hurting anyone, I don't care.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, maybe this sounds, I don't know, perhaps paranoid on my part, but I see the idea of making this a federal issue and having Loretta Lynch compare this to segregation and whatnot, that what this is doing is it is normal, is making normal a transgendered situation, which is going to encourage it.
Well, she's legitimizing or attempting to legitimize the transsexual or transgender agenda by comparing it to the civil rights movement, which, of course, was very valid. And so someone of authority says this, and people say, yeah, wow, that's right. And it's completely fallacious, but it's a great strategy that's worked for them before. Compare it to segregation. People will shut up.
Right.
I'll let you get your agenda through.
Attach the word civil rights to it, and it has that effect. You know, an interesting byproduct of this, perhaps, is a caller I heard to a radio show recently who said that if people who are born biologically male or female can say that they're the opposite sex, why can't I say that my child is black? So that because she's applying to colleges, and maybe she could take some advantage of affirmative action programs. I mean, who's the government to say that you can't? I mean, after all, you know, it has nothing to do with what you were born biologically.
Well, logically, what you're saying makes a great deal of sense, but of course, it doesn't carry the political imperative of advancing the, transgender agenda or the LGBTQRSDUV agenda or what have you. So they won't accept that. But they'll accept the, you know.
Well, it's a byproduct in the same way that the gay marriage resulted in lawsuits that are trying to bring back polygamy or a three-way marriage or whatnot, bubbling under the surface. In a sense, the byproduct of this is that if you can invent your gender, you can invent your sex, and the government has no right to say otherwise, and if they do, they're haters, then why can't I invent my race? Why can't I invent my ethnic background? If I feel like doing that, I mean, why can't I basically invent, you know, anything? I mean, I suppose that, I heard a really wild one recently also on talk radio that there's are people who are talking about something like 25 different genders. I mean, that it's almost like, halfway between male and female, a fluid here, fluid there, you know, I don't know quite how it's defined, but, you know, I mean, I suppose that maybe the animal rights people are going to get into it too.
Oh, exactly.
You know, maybe yes. So, in other words,
when you have
the right to define these things yourself, and that becomes a civil right, then why would the government then discriminate against anyone for defining themselves in any way they want?
Exactly. That's one of the reasons they take great care not to clarify their terminology, because according to what you're saying, if you extrapolate it out to its most ridiculous extreme. You know, I can say, I'm a horse. I'm going to walk around
exactly.
with a saddle on, and I'm a horse. And you can't tell me that I'm not, you know. I mean, it sounds stupid, but that's the same logic.
Now, violinist Yitzhak Perlman has said that he's going to boycott North Carolina because their law banning transgenders from the ladies' room or whatnot is discriminatory, and that as a Jew, he understands discrimination, so he can't possibly support that. Now, I don't know, what do you think are going to be the long-term effects of this situation for the state of North Carolina?
Well, you know, I think that they are likely to be demonized and stigmatized into backpedaling what they're doing to some degree, and we've already seen signs of this, with regard to, you know, it's Zach Perlman, that's, you know, it's disappointing when you see someone who is, taken as someone who really understands the concept of oppression. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that the guy's an entertainer, and most entertainers are pretty clueless.
Right, I know that. And also, I mean, obviously the bigger problem that's not being discussed is the increase of rape in schools and on campuses of women. I mean, the transgendered issue, again, is so minuscule in compared to that. And but at the same time, is it necessarily a good thing to have our daughters have to go to the shower room with some guy in there who's, you know, naked and walking around? I mean,
well,
there's a certain amount of decorum and respect for privacy and for modesty.
Well, it's very interesting how the privacy rights and the right to safety of the majority of the women and young girls who are going to be in these places is being completely ignored. The ostensible rights of this tiny minority of transgender people and the sexual deviants who are going to hide among them, that mm-hmm. supersedes everyone else's rights. And I think, you know, my personal take on that is that it is part of just, you know, sowing social discord. The more chaotic things there are, you know, remember Rahm Emanuel, you know, mm-hmm. conflict goes to waste, what have you, what he said, they're all about generating new ones. And the farther down the road they get, the more they're going to throw at us.
Right. Well, I agree. I mean, there have been a few articles out now who say that the next frontier is going to be normalizing pedophilia, that's coming down the road. I predict maybe 3 to 5 years from now, we're going to see, already you see pedophilia referred to as a sexual orientation rather than what it is, which is a sexual deviancy and, sexual perversion. That's the conventional view, and those who hold that view are going to be called bigots and haters.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the American Psychological Psychiatric Association, what have you, they tried to slip that definition through in mm-hmm. 2013. They had to dial that back because people freaked out. But you look at Britain, you know, they've got Muslim gangs kidnapping little British white children to be used as sex slaves and prostitutes, and law enforcement cannot go after them because in order to so, they would have to identify them as Muslim, and they can't do that. So,
isn't that what Boko Haram is doing in Nigeria? I mean, they're grabbing young girls, underage girls, and turning them into sex slaves.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of...
When you have warlords running a place and they're doing that sort of thing, well, you know, that's the law of the land, I guess, right?
I guess so. So, Eric, we only have a few minutes left, so I know that you've written many, many political columns. I can't let you go unless I ask you about what you think of how the election is shaping up.
Well, it's going to be one for the books. Exciting, frightening, baffling. You know, everyone is pulling out all the stops. I think that the one thing that I'm grateful for is that the false conservatives really have been unmasked, and that's something that really needed to happen. As far as the outcome, I could say.
How do you mean false conservatives? Like who? What do you mean by that?
Well, for example, there are certain people in high-ranking positions in the GOP and in the alternative press who have been taken as represented as conservatives for a long, long time. But in the wake of this political insurgency, you see them coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we're for open borders, and we think that mm-hmm. we need to bring some of those refugees over here. And they're going with the statist playbook. So they're really sort of unmasking themselves.
Journal, National Review crowd. who are, you know, posing as the establishment conservative. And they're just getting their heads knocked around by this election.
Well, and you and I may know that they're phonies, but millions of other people did not know that up until fairly recently. And it's important that that comes about.
Do you think Trump's going to win it?
I have a strange feeling he will.
I mean, I think if he can get through it, I think he could win by a landslide. I mean, it'll be a miracle given what he's up against. But it could be an enormous sense of freedom and catharsis to this country if he does. I mean, he's at least regardless of who he really is, which is another question. What he's standing for is a re-strengthening of national sovereignty, and that's obviously a common sense idea for the future. It's something that, it resonates with people. People understand at a very guttural level that we've frittered that away, and that we're losing our ability to govern ourselves and to determine our own futures.
Exactly. And, if Trump were to get in, whether or not he does what he says he's going to do on the campaign trail is in question you deal with any candidate. But if he gets in there and says, you know what, I'm beholden to nobody, I'm going to do what the people want me to do, that could be incredible.
Yes, it could. Eric, let people know how they can get your book, introduce your book, let people know how they can read your articles.
You can find me at ericrush.com, that's ericrush.com. My weekly columns at WorldNet Daily, that's WND.com, and Constitution.com, which is a Liberty Alliance site. I publish there every few days. And enjoy.
Eric Rush, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. You have a great one.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, and I just want to mention before we go off that my books, available at Amazon.com. Just put in my name, Chuck Morse, like Morse code, M-O-R-S-E, and you will see a plethora of books come up, over 10 nonfiction books dealing with all sorts of topics, political, economic, social, religious. So go check out my books at Amazon.com, that being Chuck Morse. I want to thank you for listening this afternoon to my podcast, and have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.